and welcome to Through the Pinard, your conversational podcast talking to midwives around the world about the research they are doing to improve midwifery practice. This research can range from small quality improvement programs and projects to those starting partway through or just finishing their postgraduate studies, and to those that have been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. So settle back and enjoy the conversation. And remember, you can continue the conversation on Twitter after you finish listening. Hi, this is Academic Liz, and welcome to the second anniversary celebration. Now, I know I said last year I was going to do something big, but I actually quite like the low key, so I'm keeping to it again. And also, I've had my second knee replacement, so it's been quite crazy. We have had a big jump in listeners, and so I want to say thank you for sharing, because the whole point is to allow people to have access to listening to the stories, humanising midwifery research, humanising the midwifery PhD process. And so we went from 3,500 to over 5,000 downloads this year. We are now have been heard in 35% of the countries in the world, so 69 out of 195, and we've been heard in almost 1,000 cities. So that's kind of like double what we were doing for last year. And that's really cool to me because it is very much a word of mouth process with advertising. Now, we know Twitter's possibly imploding or it's going a bit crazy at the moment. In the next 6 weeks, while we have the end of year, beginning of the year break, so people can enjoy their Christmas, their festive seasons, their new year, and catch up on a couple they haven't heard, I'm going to be looking at what alternatives there are, so probably signing up to Mastodon. And so there'll be the usual kind of catch-ups that I'll be promoting on, as well as the subscription to whatever podcast server you're actually listening to. One of the things that I wanted to do from last year was to add transcripts. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. If anyone has some time and would like to do some checking of AI scripts, I'm happy to have people do that and put it up, but it may have to wait until I finish my PhD, unfortunately for that, because there's just not enough hours in the day. This year we had slightly fewer than last year's interviews because it was a slightly busier year. We've got some recordings that I've held over for the end of this year that'll be for the beginning of next year, and I've still got some people that are pre-booked in for interviews and still are working through the list of those that you want to do. So please remember that you can contact me on any of the forums to share people that you know who have finished their PhDs or who you would like to listen to, be they still working, be they clinical, academic, or retired. So we started this year with Pauline Dawson from New Zealand on inequality in maternity servicing, big data, and translational research. And she was looking at the maternity services in New Zealand's healthcare, and particularly the Māoris. And we were talking about the effect of colonisation and the policies that are written from a very much a government, a colonial government, and then how that equity doesn't always equal equality. And we should be looking at it from a wellness model. And also looking at the translational research that's going through, but also looking at the postpartum suicide and the high numbers of postpartum suicide and how that needs to be changed and how we need to have culturally acceptable services. Then how does that fit in with social justice? We also then looked at Annette Briley. And Annette Briley was on her very long career in clinical trials, research, and changing practice for generations. So she talked about some of the trials that she's been involved in, and a lot of the big ones you'll find her name in the publications, how she got involved with trials, the importance of talking with clinicians, that midwifery and research and the service education research equilateral triangle that needs to be there, because we need all three. We can't just do research, we can't just do education, and we can't just do service like clinical. We need to have the three working together. And that's when you get the clinical researchers, you get the clinicians from the floor that are working on different levels, who then work with the academics at university and the researchers, who then work to make changes. And those changes can be small, they can be large, or they can link up with multi-centre research that's actually happening. And so that's where linking in with your local, if you've got an idea, you want to do a study, you want to make an improvement, contact your local midwifery academics and ask them if they can help, and ask them kind of like what they can do to help you through if you don't have a clinical chair, an academic clinical chair in the venue that you're working in. And then dissemination and the patient engagement pre and post. So there's lots of things that we're curious about as people that we can look at. But then if you look at it from a very objective point of view, it goes, yeah, we can look at that. But if you look at it from a humanistic point of view and from a pregnant person's point of view, then you're going, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. You won't get ethics for that. So making sure that whoever we're wanting to research on, they are included from the very beginning to give us that feedback. And that's really important. And that's PhD was on PPH and kind of like looking at the changes of that. And she's also kind of continuing publishing as well. We then spoke to Elise Prussin, and she was looking at the barriers and enablers to partnering with women to make a difference. And in particular, looking at it from continuity of care in regional areas. We know that regional areas fight to maintain midwifery services and maternity services, and women in regional areas have to travel far longer to go to those midwifery services, or they have to leave their home and have to kind of go to cities and therefore not birthing on their own countries and their own family support networks. And so she was looking at the barriers and misunderstanding of what's needed for continuity of care was a big one, that it was that the staff didn't necessarily understand what the requirement was, that the aging of the workforce is, we've got an aging workforce in the mid to kind of like high 40s in some areas, that they don't want to change, their system works for them, and also the cost required of upskilling. But then if you're upskilling and you've got low attendance, then you can lose and de-skill very fast. And so that kind of works into different area, or you've got the kind of the support, you need support for junior midwives that are not necessarily as easy in the areas as well. Episode 32 was a talk with Jenny Gamble and values-based healthcare and being bold and carrying on. So she talked about her career through a variety of different kind of countries, universities and venues, but also looking at traumatic childbirth and PTSD from her PhD. Carrying that through and being mindful of the ethics of care, and working with a variety of other groups and also foundations, that health enhancing maternity care, that working with transparency and accountability in healthcare, how her relationship and forming the Transforming Maternity Care Collaborate, and also the Trans-Tasman Midwifery Education Consortium. And she has recently, when she did this interview, she had just moved to England, and so is now starting kind of another pathway and another journey over there. Then had the chat in episode 33 with Hazel Cadell on VBACs, Creative Data Collection, Need for Transparency and Humanising Birth. And then also looking at that home birth is a common start of a journey, but not the end of a journey, and it's onward bound. And part of her creativity was creating an app, a journaling app, that her PhD participants could use, and the relationship that that formed with her participants, even though it was asynchronous and it was online and it was remote, it still enabled a relationship to actually occur. And the stories that they were told, she's actually just published and into a book, which is going very well as well. So looking for control equates to satisfaction with a lot of the women, and how a lot of the women are kind of blame themselves for system issues, and how we need to change that. Mia Dorf gave a fascinating insight into Danish midwifery and the complex care and pregnancy, including peripartum cardiomyopathy. So a very focused topic on where there is rehab services for a whole pile of cardiac conditions and following acute myocardial infarction, but there are no rehabs for maternity care in cardiac conditions. And so looking at where this sat, looking at the experience of it, looking at some of the conditions of it, and then also looking at her future plans for looking at lactation medication that people are on as well. The chronic medical conditions are increasing, and we know that. We know that women are getting pregnant now that are having medical conditions that in the past would not have been encouraged to get pregnant, or we're doing better. So looking at how do we keep these women in a continuity model to break down the fragmentation of care to actually support them with their complex needs, because quite often they will go into the medical system. So how do we kind of keep that from being even more? And that's looking at a coordinator through pregnancy, a midwife who actually sits there and helps coordinates everything. And so once again, the differences in different countries, whilst it was from research that was done in Denmark, a lot of things were very, very familiar, looking about the respectful care and looking at what's available, and the importance of, once again, using validated tools kind of came out as well. Episode 35 was Liz Newman on ethics of care, informed consent and taking opportunities, and looking at the political system, starting with her kind of left of centre way into midwifery that helped her with her exploration and her studies. Looking at maternity services reports, looking at how to decentralize care, looking at epidural analgesia compared to water birth regulations and restrictions and the differences of them, informed consent and the question of coercion. Sue Kildare was episode 36 on Birthing on Country, Decolonizing Midwifery and Working in Partnership. We talked about her career around Australia, and looking at the need for an endorsed rural midwives, increasing in Medicare. So a lot of the political things that we're needing to do, once again, how to maintain skills, scope of practice, her work with Charles Darwin in setting up the Molly Centre, Birthing on Country Conference 10 years ago, and then she promoted the fact that there was going to be Best Start to Life Conference in Alice Springs in October, which I went to and I did a summary of when I came back. We talked about social injustice and decolonisation, the call for students to kind of be involved as much as they can, for also looking at research, taking opportunities up, involvement with the Trans-Tasman Midwifery Education Consortium as well, and looking at where we go in the future. And that wherever we go in the future, when it's related to midwifery and Indigenous care, that it is with Indigenous midwives and carers, that we work with them, that they lead as much as possible. It's not us telling them what to do. And that was a very important theme that came from the conference that happened later in October. In episode 37, Zoe Bradfield on professional midwifery philosophy, taking opportunities and the future for clinical researchers. So he talked about her career going through her PhD, looking at midwifery philosophy and what actually is midwifery philosophy. So looking at it from a descriptive phenomenology. And I like the kind of quote when we're talking about it is that you can edit what you've written, but you can't edit what is not written. So kind of like when all of us have got those bad writing days and it's like, just write anyways. It doesn't matter what it is. Just write. And then edit what you've written. But there has to be something first before you can edit. Also looking at models of care and the fragmentation that comes in, and how do we fix this? How do we address this? And looking at the importance of being explicit with women, and looking at how do we deal with this? How do we kind of take these opportunities and kind of appearing when a position comes up and appearing on like the local ACM boards and going up to national ACM boards, going up to putting connections with research groups, with Burnett Institutes, with other kind of like clinical relationships that are within our scope of practice, but also how to increase the research capacity of clinicians. Episode 38 was Maeve O'Connor on smoking and pregnancy, fear of childbirth, and writing a new midwifery course in Dubai. So originally from Ireland, kind of talked about her training in Ireland and her PhD with smoking and also tocophobia, and then kind of going where she is now and how that's kind of transported her through to different places and currently in Dubai and setting up the midwifery course that started a few months ago in Fatima College. Episode 39 talked to Mary Renfrew on changes in midwifery from invisible to visible and the need to care for all women, all babies, all families. And she's one of the early midwives to have a PhD and then not being able to say anything about it in the early days, and then the support around colleagues, and then changing the way things are done by using the evidence, understanding how to use the evidence, and looking at the collaboration that's actually needed. But we also need the importance for midwifery research to be visible. So her background and through her whole career has been related to breastfeeding, the Mother and Infant Research University, which has changed according to the universities that she's been at. And that's really important that visibility of midwifery research was given a huge jump by the Lancet series, which we're hoping that we can actually have a chat to in 2023 about how that came about and how they decided what papers went in, a little bit behind the scenes on that. Because without that information, we know there's so much on continuity of care, but like, why is it still not being listened to? And everything that we do, the networking that we do, the kind of the research that we do, it's all about improving the care for all women, all babies, and all family. And that's what we talked about with others, with the inequality versus equity, when we're looking about social injustice, colonization. So there's a lot of things that kind of come into that. We then go to episode 40 and Lola in Spain and the past persecution of Spanish midwives and the struggle to rebuild a midwifery profession. Now, they were some of the earliest midwives to go to university, but because of political dictatorships, because of political uprisings and civil war, their midwives have gone backwards to not being recognised as an independent profession. They're still very much struggling with an identity and with scope of practice, and it's very much a medicalised model that is happening now with very little continuity of care. There's slowly happening some midwifery group practices. Some multidisciplinary teaching units are coming through. So there is a generation of midwives who are starting to change this a little bit more. But historically, back into the 70s, then they had struggled. But they were going to the university in the 19th centuries, which was really quite amazing. But Franco's ruling has put a lot of that into the background. So the aim for a lot of the midwives now are trying to stop the medicalisation of childbirth. There was no college of midwifery for so long, and then it's kind of started to come back. And Lola's published her book on obstetric violence in Spanish as well. Episode 41 was Nigel Lee on water injections for analgesia, perineal bundle, and research clinicians. So back to Australia and talking about his interest in kind of research and his practice with in Australia and also in the UK. And then the Icarus trial, the water for injections, and the fact that people think it's something new, but he was saying it came from Sweden in the 1880s. And that whilst four injections are the best, doing two at the same time gives the same coverage and is better tolerated from the women. Also looking at perineal bundle and the assessment for that, and looking at research clinicians and how to get them involved. And so looking at things such as GDM and increased risk of inductions, looking at expected dates of birth and C-sections rates, post-COVID responsibilities. And we talked about how the supervision relationships are important with a PhD, and that PhD is not intelligence, but it's resilience. So it's not something for the smartest person necessarily, which we all keep thinking. It's a person who's kind of stubborn, who is resilient, who has a team around them, who knows who to go to, and is not afraid to kind of yell out for help when they need it, but also understand that it's a learning process, that you might be really good at what you're doing, but the actual process of a PhD is going to throw you some curly ones as you're exploring your knowledge and you're learning and you kind of go back, but then you build it up again and then you're able to explain what you're doing. Episode 42 was asking for some feedback on a quiz, just some feedback in general for this podcast, which is still up and running if you feel like going, linking onto that, and I'll put the links in, make it a bit easier. Then 43 was Rachel Reed talking about her journey into women's rights and rights, R-I-T-E-S, following the sun and writing books. And so she went through her passage into midwifery, not through nursing, and then going through her time independent, going back into the system, stepping out, doing her research, listening and finding about what are the rituals that are actually happening within birth, doing her PhD and then writing a book and getting that out, and then now stepping away from academia and now having her own kind of like education focus so that she can help educate others, not just within the system, but also others with evidence-based practice and looking at the information from that. Then in October, so episode 44 was the wrap-up that I did on the Best Start to Life conference in Alice Springs, and that was a short, sharp one. And that conference was amazing, like 95% or more of the speakers were First Nation. It was amazing to hear what some different groups are doing, but also the struggles that are around and the clash really between the colonization and the Western expectation of this is what you will do to this is what we have been doing and this is what actually does work, and how putting support services in actually will increase birth weights, will decrease premature babies, will increase that development over those first 1,000 days. And if you increase that trust and that development and you have the community behind you, then they will make use of the services. But you've got to have the trust there. And that's what's happening in a lot of places, is the understanding of the hassles and social injustice. And once again, the equity versus equality, that if you're labelled as a troublemaker or you're labelled as someone who doesn't come, but it's because you transport because of racism, then that doesn't help. Episode 45 was talking to Jane Sandhill about her career, about kind of her training, then kind of going and working in Malawi and the changes there and post-returning home. Looking at global health issues, part of the ACM or the RCM, but also then looking at the radical midwives, and they've been involved with quite a lot of the changes and they're still around, and midwifes and also clinical critiquing research, starting those early changes up. Looking at midwifery working and burnout, looking at the trying to be disruptive in transformation of healthcare, and how do you do that with the evidence? And that's the kind of like listening to the women's voices, implementing things, but doing it at multiple levels. So having that voice in all those different levels, that includes the co-design or participatory research. So getting the people in that you want to be able to research on, getting them in early and getting them to understand and give their feedback to it. And that's kind of really important. And now as her role as chief midwife researcher under the chief midwife, looking at the new future platform that's kind of coming out, that has come out with research funding, with grants, looking at the new digital thesis repository, and trying to be solution focused research. So not only looking at the wellness, but looking at solution focused research. Episode 46 was Roz Danella Ferdinands, back in Australia, and looking at her career, and looking at her continuity of care and MGP, the implications and expanding. And what was really interesting was the power of education in how it can change your mindset and how you can go into one really passionately believing in a particular focus, but then through time, through research, through evidence, through education, that you can actually change that frame of evidence and change that frame of mind and making space for that. And that's kind of looking at that, being respectful for what you're doing, but also who you're working with. And also how the social model of care and intersectionality, as we've talked about, equity of access, capacity for change, and the use of creative solutions. So some very common themes coming through. And the last one for this year on episode 47 was Leslie Page on humanising birth and hospitals, listening to women and thinking differently. So the UK's first midwife with a PhD, her marvellous career, and we could have talked to her much longer, but looking at her differences from Australia, she's worked in UK, she's worked in Canada, she's worked in Australia, and why do we do this? And looking at compassion, courage, listening to women, making the positive changes, putting that humanisation back into it again. And kind of started with going way back in the Oxford perinatal trials, going back to some of the early stuff that they were doing, the early midwifery-related evidence, and how that's kind of coming through, and then how that's changed and what the future is going to be like as well. And how even now with COVID, that with a lot of people and a lot of the professors who were retired, about to retire, or were still actively working, that there's still a professors group that have been out and doing rapid reviews in for the COVID and looking at maternity. And Mary Renfrew also spoke about that as well, because it happened just as she was retiring the first time. And how this is important to have this knowledge, this body of people who have this knowledge and have these skills that can work rapidly at a high level, that can actually help debunk some of the kind of things that were coming through, especially with COVID, especially with vaccinations, and especially with breastfeeding going through and looking at them. So that's all of the episodes for this year. There'll be 6 weeks, as I said, break now. The next ones will come out in end of January, early February. I've tied over a couple more lined up, and still have a list once we've worked out how to contact people with Twitter changing. Then also next year, I'm going to a few conferences. So the first conference I'm going to and actually presenting about the podcast is in March, and that's the Trans-Tasman Midwifery Education Consortium. So I'm going to present there and also give you a kind of a rundown on basically a wrap-up of what we kind of cover over there. We've got some international people coming for that. And then in June is the international ICM in Bali. So anyone who I've interviewed who will be there in June, I will buy you a drink to say thank you. And hopefully I'll be catching up with a lot of people and might be doing some short vox pox of what people think and what people are doing. And just doing a very slightly different one that may be a bit delayed, so you might get that in July, August. And so that'll be good. And then we've got the Australian College of Midwives National Conference here in Adelaide in September as well. So whatever conferences I go to that are going to be midwifery-related, I'm going to do a wrap-up on, purely because it's a good way to share information. As usual, if you want to hear from certain people, please let me know. But apart from that, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting. I look forward to engaging with you more next year and to hopefully celebrating the third anniversary in a year's time. But in the meantime, have a happy festive season. Be safe, be happy, and see you in 2023. Thank you for joining us today. You'll find all the links on Twitter, Instagram, and on the podcast website. If you are a midwife and you would like to share your research, your postgraduate studies, or even the quality improvement projects you are doing now, then email me at throughthepinard@gmail.com. Send me a tweet or send me a DM.